Share your Bibles one with the other in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Title of my lesson today is Living in Perilous Times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. While you're finding your place in your Bible, sharing your Bibles one with another, we'd like to say that we are living in perilous times. Just this morning, in our English adult Sunday school class, Brother Jerry Chata had an attack, and some of the men, as a shot, took him to the hospital. We had prayer for him just a moment ago, and as I glanced over my notes for preaching this morning, I thought, my, how true it is that we do live in perilous times. Times that are full of peril, danger, troubles. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee once again, we pray Thy blessings upon the Word of God and the message as it is preached. May we preach this message as it is in the Bible. May each of us that are here today apply this Scripture to our own heart and our own life. May we not consider it given to someone else, but may each of us receive this message from Thee to our own particular need. We are living in perilous times, and I pray, dear God, that we may know what to do about it. I pray that souls might be saved and Christians might be drawn close to Thee as the result of the preaching of Thy Word this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I only have two thoughts this morning. First of all is the fact that we are in perilous times. And the second thought, which is divided up into two different thoughts, is how do people live in perilous times? First of all, we consider the thought, we are living in perilous times. Now, without doubt, as the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. Now turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 21, and most of our lesson will be found in that particular passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 21, we find here in this whole chapter how that Jesus is telling the sign of the last days. The time when, well, if you'll look here in verse 9, it says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by," or not immediately, but by and by the end is going to come. Now we find in verse 9 that we live in a day of danger or a day of peril. In verse 9 it says wars. We are living in the day of war. Now if you don't believe that, you look at the insurance policies that you may have. Many of those insurance policies, if they cover damage on buildings, on automobiles, you will find usually there is a clause that in case of war, declared or undeclared, if it is damaged in an act of war, declared or undeclared, the company will not pay for the damage. Now that is true in many insurance companies, that they have that little clause in their coverage that they have. Now it's a common thing that we live in a day of danger and in a day of war, whether it is declared or undeclared. We were out in Gabulian a few weeks ago, and they had a friendly little encounter out there about 3 miles from Gabulian, and there was 18 to 20 people that got killed in that friendly little undeclared war. But then, whether it is declared or undeclared, my friend, people die. They get killed. And we find we live in a day of war. In verse 9 or in verse 10, it says, "Nation shall rise against nation." Now this can be either in war, or it can be in economy, it can be in business, it can be in drugs. There are many battles going on between nations today. Nations are undermining each other. They are trying to destroy each other by many different ways. In verse 11, Luke 21, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven." Now we find that we live in a day of natural disasters like has never been before. Look at the many thousands that died just by earthquake in 1978. We are accustomed to reading our newspapers that so many thousand died as the result of an earthquake. And then, of course, we are also accustomed to seeing in our newspapers how that there are people dying daily with famine and flood and typhoon and disease and cancer and heart attack. Look at verse 26. "Men's hearts failing them for fear." Men's hearts failing them for fear. Why, I'll tell you, we live in a day when we are in peril. Look here, if you would please, in Davao City. How many people died this last month by ambush? We live in a day of peril. When you drive down the street, almost every day or every week, somewhere in my travels here in Davao City, I come across another cross by the side of the road. Either there was an accident, a child was run over, two vehicles run together, a motorcyclist was killed. Every day there is something going on in Davao City. And of course, you read your newspaper about the stabbings and the drownings and the fires and the building collapses and people falling off of a building, or they touch the electric wire and they are dying. Just the other day, I made a visit out to the regional hospital, and before I got there, I saw a crowd of people gathering around a man there by the light post. And I parked my car and I went over there to see what happened, and there was one of the most emancipated looking men that you had ever seen. He was just nothing but skin and bones. His skin was yellow. His eyes were back in his head. And there was a little bowl of soup or rice and milk, a spoon, a glass of water. And there was the man that was dead. He died. Now, I don't know what caused his death, but I do know this, my friend, that every day in Davao City, people die. People die. Young people die. Children die. Young adults die. People that are married but They're young in life, die. Every day we have friends and loved ones that die. It seems long before their time. But my friend, we live in a day of peril. My question to you is this. When are you going to die? When are you going to die? A young man one time told the preacher, "Next time I will be saved." And the preacher said, "All right, that means that you don't want to be saved until 20 years from now." "Oh no, I might die before 20 years. I might want to be saved before then." "All right, then you don't want to be saved until 10 years. "Oh preacher, that's too long." "Well, that means you don't want to be saved for 1 year." "No," he said, I don't know about that, because much can happen in a year. I better not say I don't want to be saved for 1 year." The preacher said, "When are you going to die?" The young man said, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." "All right," the preacher said, "I'll tell you what. Why don't you just get saved the day before you die?" The young man looked at him and he said, "But I don't know when I'm going to die." And the preacher looked at him and then said, "Young man, you better get saved today, because today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, 'Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth.'" So many of us are like the man in the book of James, that we say, "Well, now next year I'm going to do this. Next year I'm going to do that. Next year I'm going to do that." And God says, you ought not say next year, but you ought to say, "The Lord will, next year I will do this and that." And the Lord will that you would be saved today. The second thought here is, how do people live in perilous times? Now, we know we're living in perilous times. The question is, how do people live? How do people conduct themselves in the face of death? Now, if I could talk to each of you, every one of you would have to admit, you would be forced to admit, that tomorrow, even today, you could die. Is that not true? Is it not possible that today you will die? In this congregation, it's very possible that some of us will die today. Now, my friend, we are living in perilous times. My second question is, how do people live? All right, let me ask you, how are you living? How are you living? People live in two different ways. Those that believe the Bible, in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, if they believe the Bible and they're living according to the Bible, then we find that when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You're like John, who said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm not anxious to go through all of the pain of death, but Lord, I'm ready to die. I'm a Christian. I've been saved. I know that heaven is my home. I've followed my Lord in baptism, which is the first step of obedience. I'm a member of a good regular member of a Bible-believing church, just like Jesus told us to be. Not only that, I'm faithful in my attendance. I give my tithe. There will be no collection when Jesus comes. He will not have to say, 'Now, you're going to lose rewards because you failed to give your tithe.' I'm living for the Lord. I go to church Sunday morning. I go to church Sunday night. I go to church Wednesday night. I witness to my neighbors. I bring people to church. I live a separated Christian, dedicated life. Lord, I'm ready to go." Are you living like that? Are you living like that?
Well, I know I'm saved, but I go to church once in a while, and I give my tithe once in a while, and well, that means you're once in a while ready to go. You're not all the time ready to go. You're just ready to go once in a while. Now, suppose the Lord catches you when you're not ready. Suppose the Lord catches you when you're at the picture show instead of the house of God. Suppose that when you are listening to the rock and roll instead of listening to the Lord's music. Suppose that you are talking about things that you ought not be talking about instead of witnessing for the Lord. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or are you just partly ready? Sure, you're saved. You're ready to go in that aspect. But when you stand before the Lord, will you be ashamed? Or will you be happy to meet the Lord? Because He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many." Or will He look at you and say, "You've been faithful in a few things, but you've been more unfaithful in many things. I'll make thee ruler over nothing." Are you ready to go? How are you living in perilous times? You already admitted to yourself, "Yes, I am living in a perilous time." Now the question is, how do you live? If you believe the Bible, you're living like I mentioned. You're living serving God. You are not only saved, but you're living following the Word of God. But my friend, if you are deceived Christians don't tithe. Did you know that? The Bible teaches tithing. If you don't tithe, it is because you as a Christian are deceived. If you don't go to church on Sunday night, something's wrong somewheres. Why don't you go to church on Sunday night? Could you use the same excuse for everything else? Or would you have to just admit that you're too busy watching TV, you're too busy getting ready for school tomorrow, you're just too busy, you don't want to get out in the rain? What is our reason for not going to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night? I realize that this kind of a sermon does not get very many amens, and some of you are very quiet, and I thought sure that some of you teachers would be saying amen because we're trying to reach a goal around here. But maybe the old me is right there where you are sitting. Is that possible? That we as a child of God, we're saved, but our life is not prepared to meet the Lord. If not, we're not living like God would have us to. We are deceived. In Luke chapter 21, verse 8. Take heed that ye be not deceived. Take heed that you be not deceived. As a Christian, don't be deceived. I want you to look at Luke 21:34. I'll skip a number of things and get right down to the heart and center of it so that you can do something about it this morning. In Luke 21:34, after Jesus taught a lesson on living in perilous times, how that the believer ought to live and how he ought to live and the way to be saved through Jesus Christ, that Jesus is coming back to earth again, coming in a split second. You will not have time to get things lined up. When Jesus comes back, there will be no time. If Jesus should come right now, saved would be taken and the lost would be left. The saved that are right with God would receive rewards, and the saved that are not right with God, that are cold and indifferent, and they are too concerned about earthly things, they would stand ashamed that they were deceived in believing that this world was going to last forever. We find in verse 34, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware." Now let me read it again. The Bible says, "Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life." Now I'm not going to talk about the sin of this life. Drunkenness, surfeiting. Not all of the sins of the world. We're going to leave those for a moment. But there are multitudes of unsaved people and saved people that are living a life. You cannot tell the difference between a saved man and a lost man by the way that many of them live in perilous times. They are living with their heart overcharged with the cares of this life. The unsaved will not be saved, and the saved will not live for God because they are so concerned, they are overcharged, their heart is too concerned over the cares of this life. Did you ever go into a store and you purchase something and they charge you too much? Did they ever charge you too much? They gave you back your money, but it was not enough. They overcharged you and something was wrong. I remember one time when I overcharged the battery. I had a battery for my car and I put it on the charger, and the man said, "How long do you want it left on there?" And I said, "Well, you give it a quick charge and charge it up real good." And he said, "All right." And he charged it up real good and he overcharged it and the battery broke. The battery just literally broke. It exploded because it was overcharged. As I look out in the lives of unsaved people, I look out into the lives of God's believers, and their attitude towards the cares of this world is that they are overcharged. Some of you are overcharging yourself. You are too concerned over the cares of this life. What are some of the cares of this world? Well, you've got financial cares. The rent to pay, the lights to pay, the food to pay, the tuition to pay, the clothing bill to pay, the obligations to pay. And the first thing you know, you see all of the bills that you have, the finances, and you become over-concerned about money. And then, of course, there is the health care. We've got Medicare. Too many people are more concerned about Medicare than God care. The father is sick. The children's teeth are hurting. My rheumatism is hurting me. Our health is getting bad. And we become so concerned about our health that we have no time for God. We have mental problems. Any of you got mental problems? How many today have mental problems? Let me see your hand. Any of you have any mental problems? All right, we've got one honest person in the building today. The rest of you are lying. I ask you, do you have any mental problems? What do you mean, preacher? I'm not 99. I didn't say, are you crazy? Crazy people don't have any mental problems. Mental problems are had by people who are intelligent and they think. Do you have any problems in your home with your husband, your wife, your children that cause you to lay awake at night and worry about the problem? Some of you women, you say, "Oh, where is that wandering husband of mine tonight?" You've got a problem. A mental problem. Any of you husbands worried about your wife? Where is my wife tonight? What is she doing? Who is she with? You got any mental problems? I'll tell you, there's many a night that I pillow my head and I wonder what my children are doing. I wonder if my children are going to church like they ought to go to church. And brother, we have a lot of mental problems. We've got problems in our home. We've got problems that our neighbors give us problems. Some of the young ladies, they worry about their boyfriends. And some of the young men, they worry. They've got mental problems about their girlfriend. I'll tell you, the first thing you know, we become so concerned, we are overcharged with the cares of this world that we have no time for God. Luke chapter 21 says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware." Some of you are living in perilous times and you are deceived. You're deceived. You're putting other things first. You're not putting God first. As I look out over this congregation today, there have been many of you that have been very regular in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, teaching Sunday school classes, singing in the choir. This morning the choir sang good. But oh, I'll tell you, that first row was weak. That first row was weak because some of you that sat out here in the pew should have been up here. But because of the cares of the world, something that is more important, something that you just will let the Lord's work go until the first thing you know, you drift, you go farther back, farther away from God, until one of these days Jesus is going to come back and it's going to find you unprepared. You're not ready. There's going to be a time of being ashamed because you did not do what you could have done had you dedicated your time for the Lord. Living. How are you living today, my Christian brother and sister? You're living in perilous times. There's no question about that. You're living in the day that Jesus can come back even today. But the question is, how are you living? How are you living? Are you living prepared? Ready to go? Ready to hear the "well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or are you going to hear the Lord say, "Shame on you. Shame on you, my child. You were not the testimony you ought to be." Oh, I'll tell you, whether we're a preacher, whether we're a Sunday school teacher, whatever our work is, so many times, so many, many times, our service to the Lord is only as it is available. When we can do everything else that we need to get done out in the world, then we will do the Lord's work. My friend, we better put God first. One closing thought here, my friend. If you're not a Christian, if you're unsaved, what a terrible day that's going to be when Jesus comes back to earth for you. What a terrible day that's going to be when you die. If you should die today, my sinner friend, you have never personally one time received Christ as your Savior. What a terrible, awful eternity faces you. The very moment you die, you will open your eyes in hell. You will never have another opportunity to be saved. When we sing an invitation song this morning, you have an opportunity to come and be saved. But if Jesus should come, or you should die, before you receive Christ, even this morning, you would spend all eternity in hell. On the day of Pentecost, The unsaved people did not wait until they sang two or three verses. As soon as Peter told them how to be saved, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved," they immediately came and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. And that's what you ought to do today. And as a Christian, Luke chapter 21 verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things." Now, my friend, don't be ready part of the time. Be ready all of the time. No matter what time of the day it is, no matter where you are, no matter what you are doing, always be ready right then and there for the Lord Jesus to come back. Somebody one time said, "Well, Pastor, suppose that I'm in the shower taking a bath. Why, what will I do? Grab the towel on the way up?" No, the Lord will clothe you. The Lord will clothe you. He will give you your garments. You will not be found naked. What that means is that no matter where you are, what time of the day, who you are with and what you are doing and what you are saying, what you are listening, what you are looking at, what you are reading, what you are writing, in everything that you do, you would not be ashamed if the Lord would come right there. Sometimes when I make visits, I walk up to the door and I knock on the door of our member's house. And sometimes somebody looks out and said, "Oh, it's Pastor Schott." And my, I'll tell you, people have to run in and change clothes, and they've got to change the music, and they've got to turn the calendars around, and they've got to find the Bible and put it out. All just for me. I did not know that I was so important. Why, let me tell you something. I am not your judge. No, but you say you're my preacher. That's true. That's true. And someday I'll have to give an account. Someday I will have to stand before the Lord. And the Lord is going to say, "Richard Schott, I put you as an under-shepherd over this people. And here are members that are fond of the disco. Did you not preach to them?" "Yes, sir, I did. I even went to their home and I told them, 'Shame on you.' And they got mad at me. But I told them the truth, Lord. I did my best. I went home and I said, 'Lord, break all their records. Bust their phonograph player.' But the Lord says, 'That's not my job. They are the ones. They can turn it off. They can quit that. They can do what's right.' The Lord will come to me and say, 'Now, Richard Schott, I told you to preach the word.' Now, there's some of those people that they did not give their tithe. Did you tell them to tithe?" "Yes, sir. I told them to tithe. Yes, Lord, I did my best. I even did it so much that my wife said, 'You're going to drive away people if you don't stop preaching on tithing.' But Lord, I listen to you instead of my wife. Brother, listen. Where are we today? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we ready to go when the Lord comes back? If He comes back today, are you ready today?" You say, "Yes, I'm ready to go right now." "Yeah, but how about last night? How about tomorrow night? How about tomorrow morning? How about tomorrow afternoon? How about next Friday night? Are you going to be ready? Or are you going to say, 'Well, Lord, come on Sunday morning. Don't come on Sunday night. Lord, if you come back, please don't come on Friday night visitation, because there's going to be too many of us that will be ashamed that you're coming.' Are you ready to go? Are you really a Bible-believing Christian? Or are you just play-acting?" Now, this is the last Sunday in November. We've only got one more month to do our work. We've got multitudes of people to win to Jesus Christ. And some of us are going to do absolutely nothing unless you, as a church member and as a believer, put God first in what you ought to be doing. Now, that may be a varied pattern and plan. There may be many different things that you ought to do, or I ought to do, or somebody else ought to do. But the point is, let us do what God wants us to do. Let us be where God wants us to be. And let us say what God wants us to say. And today, if God is touching your heart as a Christian about something, then look at the Bible. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy. Some of you need to come. I'm sure there would probably be workers and teachers and members of the church that would come and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. This area of my life is no good. I want you to forgive me." An unsaved man, woman, boy, and girl today. The Bible says, "Watch ye therefore." John chapter 1, verse 29. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." If you're here today and you're not ready to die, you're not ready for the Lord to come back, you do not know where you will go when you die, why not today accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Quit looking at the things of the world. Look to Jesus Christ for your salvation. Repent of your sin. Believe in Him. When we sing the invitation song, you step out and come and say, "I want to accept Christ as my Savior." Shall we stand for prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. If there are those that are not saved, may they come and be saved today. We that are Thy children, Lord, You know where we have failed Thee. And dear God, help us to do what's right. Before Jesus comes, may we start today. May we not wait until some other day, because we are already living in perilous times. Help us to live right for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we sing page 82 in our songbook, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for Thee, for me." How about it today? If you're not saved, would you be saved today? If you do not know where you'll go when you die, when are you going to know? When are you going to find out? A man 73 years old told me one day, when I asked him, "Are you saved?" And he said, "Not yet, not yet." And I said, "What are you doing about it?" He said, "I go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Friday night. I say my confession. I go over the rosary. I go to Mass. I do everything that I'm told to do." I said, "Well, how long have you been doing that?" He said, "Ever since I can remember. Ever since I can remember. I've never gone out and gotten drunk. I've never gone out with the boys. I've never done anything that I know of that is wrong." I said, "Well, if you would die today, do you believe you'd go to heaven?" He said, "I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not sure." You know what I told him? I said, "After you've been trying to be saved like that 73 years, I suggest you change your way of trying to be saved. You're not saved by a system of good works. You're saved by coming to the end of yourself, recognizing that you are a sinner. Christ is the Savior. And if you will receive Him by faith, God will do the saving. Will you come as we sing the first stanza? Will you come?" "Just as I am, will you come today, my friend? As a Christian, do you need to settle some things for the Lord? Your life has not been what it ought to be. Oh, O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come.
My brother and sister in the Lord, you that are members of the church, members and Sunday school teachers, we have the month of December facing us. We've been announcing it that we want to make that the greatest of all months. We want to reach new goals because we want to win souls for Jesus Christ. We have a goal next week of 300. The next Sunday, 350. The following Sunday, 400. December the 24th, 500 in Sunday school. Let me ask you, Sunday school teacher, let me ask you, member of the church, are you spiritually in the place that you are going to do your part in these attendance goals as well as the spiritual goals? Or is your spiritual condition of such a nature that you're just going to set back and let everybody else do it? You won't criticize. We thank you for that. You're not going to cause trouble. We praise God for that. But oh, my friend, is that all God wants you to do? Just drag your feet? Just ride along while everybody else is pulling and pushing? Are you going to come and just, all you're going to do is just come to church if somebody invites you? If somebody encourages you, why, you will come to church? I'm talking to the church members. I'm talking to the Sunday school workers. Are you spiritually right now? Right now, are you where God wants you to be? Are you that dedicated individual that you were one time? Are you visiting like you were? Are you leading like you were? Are you attending like you were? Are you the enthusiasm as you one time were? Are you the blessing that you one time were and that God wants you to be? Or are you just drifting along with the crowd? My friend, if we're going to reach new goals, you are going to have to be in the spiritual place God wants you. We're not going to offer that many prizes. As a church, we're not going to offer that many materialistic gifts to just guarantee 500 people here. We're not going to do it that way. If we're going to reach these goals, every Sunday school teacher will have to be on fire for God. That Sunday school class with visitors and attendants and new ones, every member of our Sunday school class and every member of the church should take a personal responsibility upon our shoulder in the month of December. And I ask you, my friend, as a Christian, how are you living? If you're not living for God, why don't you come and put God first this morning? Unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl, you've got a much greater need personally. Not that it's not important that the Christian gets right with God, because all the importance of that. And I hope none of you are absent tonight, because I'm going to show you the importance of a Christian living for God. But if you're here and you're not saved, eternal judgment awaits for you if you don't get saved. As we sing the second stanza of page 82, would you come as we sing? Just as I am. About it today? Are you where God would have you to be?
friend, will you be saved today? Oh, Christian.